Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Ahoy! Welcome in on a, dare I say, a nice Friday. Somewhat dry, a light sprinkle, a holiday version of primetime, a college football playoff version of primetime. We got a lot going on right now. I do have no Isaac Rop. Much like Dan Lanning says that being sick is a choice, apparently rain is a choice because Rop has left the rain and is in San Diego, sunny San Diego, where I believe it's 79 and sunny and he's golfing right now. But I do have Lowercase, who has braved the elements with me, so it's a two-man edition of primetime with me and the wonderful Lowercase.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
How you doing today?
I'm doing good. I mean, yesterday was a doozy. I actually went to the Blazer game. So I was at the Blazer game, and then I was watching the Thursday night football game on my phone at the Blazer game, because to be honest with you, I didn't really care about the Blazer game. That was one of those, my gal, her company has luxury suite tickets, so they offered them up, and so we kind of brought the kids, and you go then, you do the meal and all that, but I was more interested in what was happening on Thursday night football. And I'm not certain which ending was more bananas. Ended up just being one of those, like, what in the hell? And I'm going to be honest about this, and I never do it. I left the Blazer game early. Like, they were one, honestly, it's the Sacramento Kings and the Blazers. I was like, whatever. So start of the fourth quarter, we were like, dude, let's get out of here. Let's beat traffic. We'll go home, and I'll catch the end of the Thursday night game. So I go home, I'm sitting on the couch, and I'm watching the end of Thursday night football, and I kind of had the Blazer game up on my phone, and I stopped looking when they were up by like 15 with a couple minutes to play. So I just kind of was like, well, that's over. And so then I turned my attention to the Thursday night football game. I didn't find out about the Blazer thing until after the fact. I was like, what in the hell? And this is how bad it was. This is hand of God. So I knew Rop was gone. So I was sitting there on my little computer there, and I was just kind of doing a one sheet. Because if I have to host by myself, sometimes the night before I'll just kind of lay out, hey, here's some stuff we can talk about, right? We got Alabama and Oklahoma, and we talk about some Duck stuff. And got a bunch of notes on the Thursday night football game. And literally I had it in my notes because I saw that the Blazers blew it. I saw that it was 1.9 seconds. And I literally put in my notes, you never know with this team. Horrible loss. Can't believe they blew that. And then the stat line, because the Blazers starting five had a monster night. Everyone had a good game. And lo and behold, I kind of, like, 5 minutes after the fact, right? Game's over. And I'm kind of sitting down there and I was scrolling through my Twitter. And so this is now at like whatever it is, 10:30 at night. I'm scrolling through my Twitter and I see one of the local, like the news scribes or whatever, tweeted about how Portland got a win. And I was like, what? I'm like, did they write? Like, I thought it was a messed up headline. I had to go back and check what the hell happened. So not only did I leave the game early and miss the blown lead, I actually turned it off after the Blazers blew the lead officially and with like whatever 1 second left, 1.9 or whatever. And I turned it off. I had to go back and watch the replay of the non-Russell Westbrook foul, which might be the worst foul I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, I hated that call, but I'm not going to be too pissed about it because I was surrounded by Blazer fans. So I'm going, yeah, good call, folks.
Dude, look, I don't have a dog in the fight. I root for the local team, but I'm not living and dying with
same here.
With the Blazers. I want to root for the hometown team. It's fun when they do well. That is the biggest horse-esque call I've seen. And look, I know NBA officiating is sketchy, but oh my God. I'm not certain. And by the way, if you've watched the Blazers at all this year, Denny is one of the best players in the league. Denny just puts his head down and goes. Like when he gets on a break, dude, that is a large man that just puts his head down and it's just a straight line and good luck stopping him. But I'm not certain how in that situation, Denny slamming a ball into Russell Westbrook's face somehow is a foul on Russell Westbrook. I was like, what? I mean, for a team that's only won six games, it's probably a good thing that Sacramento lost. I think they're in full tank. But that was as bad a call in that moment as I've ever seen in the NBA. And it was shocking.
I mean, the fact that the buzzer had gone off and they said, no, get everyone back off of their benches. We're going to take a look at this. Yeah. That's the way shocking thing that it's. No, let me stop everything going on. We're going to take a look at this for a 50-50 call.
And this was one of those, too, that I really thought that one of the dumbest, although it turns out I guess it's the correct call, the two-point conversion, the failed two-point conversion that turned into the successful two-point conversion, one of three, by the way, I would have thought that was the strangest call I was going to see that night. And then I saw the end of the Blazer game and I was like, well, I guess that happened. But that Thursday night game, my God, dude, that thing was drunk. That was the game of the year. I had some buddies of mine that went up to that. And look, I going into the year, I thought Seattle was a playoff team. I was a little more bullish on the Seahawks than some. I just thought that you know, I know Sam Darnold for Geno Smith and, you know, I just thought that was kind of a wash. It was the second year under McDonald. That defense was going to be good. I thought that was a 10 or an 11 win team, and that was going to be a playoff team. And obviously, they've exceeded those expectations. But I even said going into that game, I was talking to some Seahawks fans of mine, and one of them is a diehard, and he's got season tickets. He was going up to it, and he asked me what I thought, and I was like, I said, the Rams are better than you. I kind of thought the Seahawks were pretenders. I thought it was a really, really good defense with an offense that can't be trusted, and they really didn't have a signature win. If you look at the three teams that they've played, their three best teams, they have three losses, close losses. But I just thought it, when push comes to shove, I think their offense is limited, and you know, I think their offensive line's a little spotty. I just didn't believe that was a real contending team. They're a little bit like the Houston Texans to me. The defense can drag you to certain places, but ultimately they're not going to be good enough.
Got to score points to win games.
But, and then through 3.5 quarters, all of that was confirmed, right? I mean, there's nine and a half minutes left. You're down by 16 points and you throw a pick. And it's kind of like, all right, that does it. In fact, Ernest Jones said that the Rams players were laughing. They were taunting the Seahawks. And at that point, game's over, right? And then the punt return. And this is what I'll say about Seattle. And we got a lot to dig into and plenty of stuff to get to today, by the way, because we got Oklahoma, Alabama tonight. We'll preview the Ducks.
We got such a great weekend for sports.
Oh, it's a phenomenal weekend. Dan Lanning, by the way, who normally joins us on Thursday, obviously he couldn't join us Thursday because we had the game of the year going on with the Seahawks and the Rams. So Lanning was kind enough to join us today. So we'll have Lanning today at 4. Jory Harrington will join us for his two segments at 5:30 and 6. So we've got a ton of stuff to talk about. And then Alabama, and like I said, will Alabama, Oklahoma, which might be the best game of the first round. Although Miami A&M might have something to say about that. That will distract me at 5. So we got plenty to get to, but for 3.5 corners, that was a Denny Green sort of game. The Seahawks are who we thought they were. A good team that was going to come up short. One, I think it was a little disappointing to see the Rams be able to move the ball like that against the Seahawks. Because that's the one thing that you thought you could count on is the Seahawks defense was going to keep you in all those games. And I will give credit. when they got down there by 16, how many different third downs did the Rams have a chance to seal away that game? And the Seahawks came up with a big stop, including forcing whatever it was, the 48-yard field goal.
Including that big play that stopped all the momentum when Ernest Jones
debatably gets a pick. So the Seahawks defense was far from great. But they when they needed them most, when they needed to get stops, they got stops. And when they needed to make plays, they made plays. And this is where I came away after that game, and I kind of sat there and I was texting back and forth with my buddy, and he's just going apes. He's like, oh my God, best game in Seattle in years. And, you know, this is Beastquake type stuff. And oh my God, we're the number one seed and everything is laid out before you. Which, by the way, you're the number one seed right now. A lot can change. And we'll talk about that. I mean, that game had massive playoff implications. But this is what I'll say about Seattle. Do I think Seattle is the best team in the NFL? No, I don't. Do I still think their offense is very limited and that Sam Darnold in two games against the Rams has thrown six picks? Well, that's fact. I do think he's limited. I do think your offense is limited. And at times, he's absolutely terrifying. But at this point, can you say that Seattle is going to be in every single game that they have played? Yes. They have not been soundly beaten one time all year. You can say that they've lost games where they aren't the best team. You can say that they've won games where you could say maybe they're not the best team. But this is what I'll say, and maybe you can even say this about Oregon too. They are a resilient team. They do not have to bring their A game in order to be in these contests. And going into this, I did think the Rams were as good as anyone in the league, if not the best team in the NFL. And when you look at the two games that the Rams and the Seahawks have played, they are almost identical from a point differential, from a yardage standpoint. I mean, those two teams are mirror images. Now, when I watch those two games, I think the Rams are the better team. I do. But the proof's in the pudding here, and that Seattle has gone toe-to-toe and now has a win over them. You have to say that Seattle is, this is a game to me, even though it was kind of fluky. And at one point, like I said, with 9.5 minutes, you throw that interception. I believe it was like 98.5% win probability for the Rams. In fact, when you actually look at what the Rams did, and this was the yardage that they've thrown, the number of touchdowns and no turnovers. I'll look it up here and see what. There's like a series of stats that the Rams had put up. No team in the modern era had put up those numbers and lost a game.
581 total yards. 457 of them were through the air. They averaged 6.6 yards per game, and they had 88 total plays. I mean, they had 25 more plays than Seattle did.
No team had put up the Rams numbers offensively with no turnovers and lost a game.
Or sacks allowed.
Yes. The Seahawks were 0-155 when trailing by 16-plus points in the fourth quarter. Like, this game, the Rams should have won this. And you can make the argument, did the Rams blow this? Did the Seahawks make a comeback? Probably a little bit of both. I mean, their kicker hadn't missed a field goal all year. They come up with a big third down stop. It's a 48-yard kick. And what happens? He pushes one. So, I mean, all of these things come into play. And if they were to play again in the playoffs, I would probably pick the Rams. But this is what I'll say about Seattle. It doesn't matter what we think of Seattle at this point. The truth of the matter is, the Seahawks on any given Sunday can beat anyone in this league. And you look at their losses, right? 17-13 should not have lost to the 49ers, and they'll get a chance to avenge that.
Yep.
38-35 to the Bucs. That was just whoever had the ball last. And the Rams was 21-19. I mean, those are your three losses. You have not been soundly beaten. In fact, you can make the argument the Rams in that loss were the team that has beaten the Seahawks. That was the most Seattle had been dominated in a game all year.
By far.
Was that game, and they found a way to win.
And that was kind of more of Seattle shooting themselves in the foot rather than it was the Rams really dominating them.
I mean, it's just crazy. That was the game of the year. I don't know, and we've had some really good ones. I thought we had a good one last week with New England and Buffalo, with the Bills being down 21-0 and coming back. But man, last night, that's good stuff. That is good stuff. And it made me a little bit of a believer in Seattle. And I know some people are saying the exact opposite. Some people are like, yeah, that was a fluky game. And, you know, I still can't take them seriously. I'm not. I said, I'm a big believer of, in the NFL, you are what your record says you are. Right? And I ask all the time, you need signature wins. That's a signature win. And it doesn't matter how you get it, you found a way to get a signature win. And so to me, I have to take Seattle seriously. And I don't know if I did that before last night. I really didn't. I thought they were good. I didn't think they were capable of getting where they needed to go. But after last night, the resilience they showed, the defense bowing their back when they needed to, and Darnold erasing the earlier mistakes, because Sam Darnold was Sam Darnold early in that game, but some of those throws he made, including the one to Cooper Kupp on the sideline, the toe drag.
That was the most important throw of the game.
It's big time stuff.
Yeah.
That is big time stuff, and that's a big time win. Doesn't have to be pretty, but that's a big time win. And we come back. I mentioned it before, because I thought the Westbrook foul might have been the dumbest thing I saw from an official. I have never seen this in the history of my life. We got to talk about the two-point play that wasn't and then was. When we come back, 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Talking a little Thursday Night Football, your first place Seattle Seahawks. 12-3, by the way. Number one seed in all of football. There were so many parts. We could literally spend 3 hours talking about that game. When I was kind of jotting down notes, it's absurd how many little different things you can point to in that football game. And like 99 of them should be the Rams win. And yet in this scenario, everything broke right. Which is why I get why some people today are going to say that the Rams are still better than the Seahawks. And I get that. I'm not here to debate that. Again, I said if those two teams played in the postseason, which, by the way, is still a very, very real possibility. I mean, both of these teams are going to go. I mean, there's a good chance, by the way, that if you look at it, there's still a chance that the Niners could end up being the one seed in this playoff.
This is probably the most dangerous division in football right now.
Oh, hands down. And by the way, anyone dismissing the 49ers, do you realize that the Niners have wins over these two teams? Like, the two teams that are above the Niners, they've already beaten Seattle and they've already beaten the Rams, one of those with their backup quarterback. Now, again, I just think the injury bug is too much for the Niners to overcome. But, I mean, give the Niners credit. Believe it or not, the Niners still control their own destiny. If the Niners win out, they're the one seed. They win that division. If the Seahawks win out, they're the one seed. They win that division. The Rams, though, the Rams need a little help. The Rams need one of those teams, to lose. And when you look at the schedule, I got to pull it up here. The 49ers, what do the 49ers have? The 49ers have the Seahawks. The 49ers have the Colts, Bears, and Seahawks. That's the toughest. That's the toughest path. Now, the Colts, whatever. They got Phillip Rivers, but you have games against the Bears and the Seahawks. So,
and Bears are still fighting for the top seed in their division.
So right that's a tough stretch. But it's in their own hands. If they beat the Colts, and they should beat the Colts, you beat the Bears and the Seahawks. And by the way, that last game of the year, 49ers Seahawks, there's a good chance that's for all the marbles. Now, if you're the Seahawks, you have the Panthers and the 49ers, right? You got your big win against the last night against the Rams. The Panthers, we'll see what happens. The Panthers are 7-7. They got the Bucs this week. They're fighting for their division life. But the Panthers right now aren't a layup, and we've seen Seattle play down to competition, and then they got the big one with the Niners. The easiest path is the Rams. They got the Falcons and the Cards. So if the Niners and the Hawks, if they each stub their toe and the Rams went out, the Rams can still be the one seed and win that division. So there is still a lot of meat left on this bone. But I get the people after last night that are going to say, well, the Rams are still the best team. And if they were playing again, whether that's in Seattle or whether it's down in LA, I think I would still pick the Rams. My point is, you have to take Seattle seriously. They found a way, even though they did not play their best, they find a way to win games. And every game, including their three losses, they are competitive. Now let's get to the strangest play I've ever seen. And one that I'm still not certain. Now, all the rules officials are saying that this is legit. I still can't process this. McVay couldn't process it. Like, he said he has never seen anything like it. So after the absolute collapse on the part of the Rams, realize with 9.5 minutes left, they're up 16 points. Darnold throws the pick, and you're like, game over. By the six-minute mark, that was a tie ball game. That's where we went. She takes the touchdown back, which, by the way, biggest play in Seattle in years, completely changed the entire outcome of the game.
Biggest offseason acquisition, I'd say, in Seattle Seahawks history.
He's been huge since over.
Trade deadline.
Had a couple huge catches last week, and then he goes and does this, turns the game on a dime.
And it's not the first ball he's returned for the house this year.
No, he's absolutely amazing. And by the way, the Rams, they've got a special teams problem. They just do. If you want to say an Achilles heel for the Rams, there are times that their offense, especially on big third downs, see in that fourth quarter, disappear. And their special teams has been atrocious.
But throughout that, like, the history of that matchup, even back to when Tavon Austin and, you know, the Rams were back in St. Louis, special teams has usually always been the decider in those games.
Well, again, when you're the Seahawks and every game you play is competitive, it's going to come down to a play here or there. So when you got a guy that takes one to the house, that's a difference maker. So he scores, they get the 2-point conversion. And you're thinking, okay, well, down by 16, you need 2 touchdowns, 2 two-point conversions. That's not going to happen. Yes, it is. So they get the punt return. They come up with a defensive stop, score another touchdown. So realize that at 9:30 left in the game, you throw the pick down by 16. At the six-minute mark, you have now cut the lead to 2, and you're going for a 2-point conversion to tie it. You throw the 2-point conversion, it gets batted down, incomplete pass, ball's laying in the end zone, by the way, whistle blows, everyone's standing around, no big deal, it's all over.
Guy's just going to pick it up like nothing ever happened.
Doesn't even make it, he walks over and just bends down. I mean, Charbonnet,
ball's
right?
Ball's just in the end zone, so he's already in the end zone.
He's standing by it, and he bends down and kind of grabs the ball like he's going to give it back to the official. 2-point conversion's good. So upon review, turns out that what we all thought was a quick little screen pass was actually a lateral. So it was a fumble. So the ball gets tipped, but because it was behind the line of scrimmage, because the ball went backwards, that technically is a live ball. So that is not a fumble, by the way, right? It's just it's a lateral that's treated differently than a fumble in the last 2 minutes or whatever going into the end zone. So the fact that it's in the end zone, it can be recovered, but they blow the whistle and no one thinks anything of it.
And that's where the biggest issue is when you blow the whistle.
And this is where I was like, you can't do this, but apparently you can. So I guess by the letter of the law, if there is an obvious recovery, and it's like in a timely fashion or in the flow of the game, it doesn't matter whether the whistle is blown or not. So the fact that the whistle blew apparently doesn't matter, which I find to be very strange, because it was always under the impression that, yes, if there is a clear fumble recovery, we've seen this before. If a play is ruled dead and they blow the whistle, but it turns out it was a fumble and there's a clear recovery, guys diving for it or whatever, they'll give them the ball. I've never seen one in the end zone. I've never seen it on a lateral like that. And I've never seen it to where it's not necessarily a clear and obvious recovery. No one was trying to recover the ball. He was just standing there. But because the whistle blew, no one attempted it. I saw someone point out, like, if that whistle is blown and Charbonnet is standing there and one of the Rams players comes running over and just cuts him in half.
Just clears him.
Blows his ass up. Is that not a foul? Is that not a penalty?
Is he not going to get fined for the hit?
But because he just happened to be standing by the ball, like, no one, and I mean no one, and I, hand to God, Charbonnet didn't know either. That was not some sort of, like, Kurt Herbstreit was handing out all kinds of flowers, being like, oh, this is the most amazing play. And, dude, Charbonnet didn't think 2 seconds. He was just standing by the ball. He just bent over. If he really thought that in any way that ball was live, he would have done something other than gradually bend at the waist like he was tying his shoe and pick up the ball. But it turned out, by the letter of the law, it was a fumble. It was a live ball, even though the whistle had blown, and he picked it up. That was the 2-point conversion that tied the game. Are you freaking kidding me? Never seen anything like it in my entire life. Sean McVay said he's been in this game his whole life, never seen anything like it. Someone tell me when a game of that magnitude is turned on that play. And I still don't understand by the letter. I get by the letter of the law why that was allowed. I think you got to put something in. I don't know how you can ask a defense when the whistle's blown and the ball's laying there and no one's going for it in the end zone. I do not know how you can allow that to be a recovery and a completion for a recovery for a 2-point play.
I completely understand Sean McVay's frustrations, but his team also did let up a pretty big comeback.
Oh, well, look.
Like they did not play a great second half.
And by the way, for people saying the they don't think the whistle blew, it blew.
Definitely did.
When they were showing the replay, also, this was kind of cowardly on the part of Amazon. They did not do it with audio. Like, they just
showed. That was selective choice.
Yeah. We'll get into the broadcast. Again, we could do like 3 hours on this game. Al Michaels, I love Al Michaels. I love him dearly. Al's my guy.
He's losing some juice.
Al Michaels might be my favorite broadcaster of all time. He gave me the Miracle on Ice. Hey, you do it. That's like Chappelle doing he made Thriller. He can't go against Michael Jackson. I can't go against Al Michaels. You gave me Do You Believe in Miracles? Al was my first guy that was talking about gambling. I love Al Michaels. Al, it's time. It's time to go. It's like I saw Willie Nelson a number of years ago up at Edgefield, and I love Willie. I've seen Willie Nelson like 20 plus times.
His son has taken over for him, hasn't
he? Yeah, Lucas.
Yeah.
I've seen Willie a lot, 20 plus, and I love Willie. I remember sitting there at Edgefield. Just staring up at the stage, being like, ah. He was playing City of New Orleans. Lucas, it took me like 2 minutes to figure out what he was playing. I didn't know what it was. It's like my favorite Willie Nelson song. I was like, what, huh? I didn't know what he was doing. I was like, oh my God. And that's why I was like, I can't do this anymore. He's come back like 3 or 4 times since. I can't go see him. I had to punt. I couldn't do it. And I'm not gonna lie, that punt return for a touchdown, the Al Michaels call, that might have been my William Nelson moment. That was the most subdued. I mean, think about it.
Like, I mean, it made it a, what was it? It made it a 1-score game?
That was, yeah, because they got the 2-point conversion. So that's what cut the lead. So it was a 16-point lead, kick return, they get the 2-point conversion, and it goes to 8. So that was finally, like, the game was over, right? The game was over. And like, oh my God, hey, Seattle's in this, right? They get a 2-point conversion here. It's a 1-score game. We got life here. Al was like, and there's the touchdown. It was and like he was calling. He was like calling the Masters. Is rough.
It did sound a little golfish.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone's saying this is Lee Corso stage approach. It is. And like I said, it pains me to say it, but it's just because I think it's easy to pile on guys. And by the way, Herb Street's not doing him any favors either. That's a bad broadcast between the two of those. They need to get out of there. We need to give us give me some Kevin Harlan. Give me some,
give me some Tirico.
Give me anybody. Give me anybody. Give me some Greg Olson. I mean, it's Herbie and Al. It's for a game of that magnitude. And very rarely do I say that announcers don't make games, right? Great games make great games, but an announcer can take away from a game.
Can definitely take away from the experience.
And I thought last night, I thought they took away from it. And that pains me to say. Still the most banana game that I've seen. Because then there was another two-point conversion. Two two-point conversions in regulation.
In regulation.
Including the most insane two-point conversion of all time, which I'm still not 100% certain was a two-point conversion. I think you should put something in the rules to try to... There has to be some sort of protection against that. I thought that was unfair to the Rams. But as you pointed out, the Rams had a million opportunities to seal that game away. And this is like when the Rams played Philadelphia. If you want to say the Seahawks have an Achilles heel, and that Achilles heel is their offense at Sam Darnold, the Rams' Achilles heel is special teams, and they can't close out games.
Yeah, and staying too long in games.
Yes. They play with their food. They had a dozen times to put that game away, and they did not do it, including Al Michaels jinxing with the he hasn't missed a kick all year and missed the kick.
Again, right after the Rashid Shaheed touchdown, you go down and score. It's a two-score game. It's pretty much over.
Freaking,
but then that you gave them life. You gave Seattle fans crazy life at home.
So we go to overtime, and you're thinking, well, we've already had 2 two-point conversions. There can't be a third, can there? Oh, yes, there can. And we'll talk about that. But here is Lowercase with a sports update. About an hour and 20, I think, away from kick, five-ish kick for Alabama and Oklahoma. Some fans already trickling into the stadium there, I see. Dan Lanning will join us at 4 o'clock, just after 4. Talk about their game with JMU tomorrow. We are talking a little Thursday Night Football right now. And so this is where I say the Rams had plenty of opportunities to salt this away. So after the very controversial two-point conversion, I mean, the Rams had 3 more drives, resulting in 2 punts and a missed field goal. And then they get the ball to start overtime, march right down, right? 8 plays, 80 yards, score a touchdown in 3:33, and all their defense has to do is come up with a stop. Can't get it. Sam Darnold turns into, like, good Sam Darnold, which is still kind of spooky that Sam Darnold is the definition of boomer bust. He is, at this point, Sam Darnold is the same Sam Darnold from last year in Minnesota. He does a lot really good, but there are limitations to him. But you heard after the game, everyone in that locker room believes in Sam Darnold. And for all the crap that people can give Sam, 6 picks in 2 games against the Rams is not good. But when they needed him on that touchdown drive, the dude was money.
He carved. I thought the throw that the choices that he was making
under pressure, too.
The pass to the tight end Barner up against the sideline, deep ball to Cup against the toe tap.
It was huge.
He just operated the last drive very well.
They go right down, 9 plays, 65 yards. And this is where, one, there was only a couple minutes left. I think there was like 3 minutes left. So had they gone for 1, they knew they weren't going to get the ball back, probably. So that was either going to end in a tie or the Rams go down and kick a field goal. And because the Rams had already beaten them, they couldn't have the tie. So, you know, McDonald said after the game that, oh, it was the situation. No, you needed it. A tie was a killer to you. So you end up going for 2. And, of course, you end up going through some progressions and throwing to a tight end that no one has heard of. Do you realize that they had thrown the ball to him twice all year? And, by the way, he had 2 catches. They have now targeted him 3 times on the year, and my man has 3 catches. It's it's kind of kooky that of all the people that could have made that, Saubert, let's be honest, had anyone heard of him before that game? Unless you were like a diehard like deep in the woods Seahawks fan, does anyone have any idea who the hell that guy is?
You can go on to Google, look at the stat line for last night's game. His name doesn't pop up having a reception.
No. Because it was in overtime.
Yeah.
You're like, everyone's just like, what?
Who is this guy?
Yeah. So it just, it was one of those games that was just absolutely drunk. It was bananas. And it's why we love the NFL. It's absolutely why we love the NFL, because occasionally you get something. There was this about Major League Baseball, right? When you tune in, you're always going to see something you've never seen before. And the NFL gives us those games. And yes, if that game goes down 50 times, the Rams probably win 49 of them. Like I said, I think at one point it was a 98.5% chance when Darnold threw the second pick with 9 minutes and some change. But well, it didn't matter, because last night it was the one time that everything broke Seattle's way, and now you're sitting there at 12-3 and you control your own destiny. And you look through the NFC, and it's a big week, and later on we'll get into the NFL slate, because there are some monster games in the NFL. Basically, win and you're in, or in some cases, lose and go home. There's some big matchups. But if you are the Hawks or the Niners, you control your own destiny. Win out, and you are the number one seed.
I think that's the same for if you're Chicago or Green Bay.
Yeah.
Or even Detroit. Mm-hmm. If you win out, you control your own destiny.
I think Detroit might actually need some help.
Detroit needs losses from Chicago.
But yeah, the Hawks and the Niners don't need anything. They just have to win. And as you mentioned, or as I mentioned earlier, the 49ers, the toughest path. They got the Colts this weekend, and then they play the Bears, and then they got the Seahawks. The Hawks and Cards, or the Hawks and the Rams, only have two games left. The Hawks, it's not an easy path. They got Carolina, who's playing okay, and they're fighting for their own division. And then they got the 49ers, and the Rams have a layup. They got the Falcons and the Cards. So the Rams should be 2-0, and so it's just a matter of, can the Seahawks manage to not stub their toe? Because there is certainly a path to where the Rams end up being the one seed. All three of these teams, by the way, are going to be playoff teams. That is the toughest division in football, and we may see a rematch in the postseason with these teams, and I'm here for it. And I'll tell you right now, the end of the year, we circled this about halfway through the year. We said, dude, keep an eye on the last week of the year, right? Seahawks 49ers. Because the first one that they played, dude, that thing was a doozy the first time around. And that was one that if you're a Seahawks fan, you felt like you let that thing slip away. Like you should not have lost that game. And you get a second crack at them.
And if you're a Rams fan, you now taking a look at both games, yeah, you've let them hang around in games that you shouldn't have let them hang around in twice now.
So it's just, it's going to be phenomenal. It's been a great year in the NFL, and just who would have thought that, I mean, we thought this division was going to be tough. I didn't think the division was going to be this, but at this point you really can't make an argument any other way. This is the best division in football. And if you're a Niner fan right now, with all the injuries you've had, I mean, I've heard from Niner fan that says, hey, having watched that game last night, I feel pretty good, going into these games if you're the Niners. And you've already beaten each team, once. You've already beaten the Rams. You've already beaten the Seahawks. Even with all their injuries, the Niners are sitting around saying, hey, why not us?
Yeah, why not? I mean, if the fact that they still have enough talent on the offense to keep producing points, they should look and go, well, those defense shouldn't scare me too much because they let me hang around for four quarters, possibly even in overtime.
Yeah. There's going to be opportunities against both of those teams because it feels like neither team necessarily can close people out. And what do the Niners do? They just hang around. The Niners just hang around. They're that pesky team that just kind of hangs around, and then
just won't really go away.
Won't really go away. They have had 1,000 reasons to roll over and die this year, and they just refuse. And it's going to be a hell of an end to the season. All right, we come back. The Dan Lanning pregame. And then, of course, we have the coach of your Oregon Ducks as they get ready to take on James Madison tomorrow, 4:30 kick. And you can hear that right here on The Fan. So the Dan Lanning.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Clean pregame show coming up next right here on 105.1 The Fan. Is the Dan Lanning pregame show. Dan Lanning will join us here in about 10 minutes or so. It does feel a little weird. Like, it hasn't really sunk into me that the college football playoff is about to start, like, in an hour. I will say that, like, 5 minutes ago, so College Game Day is out at, they're in Norman. They're at the Oklahoma-Alabama game. And I'll tell you what, it almost looked AI-generated. So there's, I'd say the crowd is starting to trickle in. So they said this was about 10 minutes ago. I'd say let's go like 30% kind of full up in the stadium. Some of the players are kind of getting outstretched and doing some of their pregame stuff. And the sun is setting in Norman. And oh my God, it's like a Norman Rockwell painting. Like if you want a little piece of America, look at like Pat McAfee tweeted it. Go look at his Twitter again. That his was like 5 minutes ago, and tell me that doesn't give you a little bit of a of some sports tightness there. I mean, look at that.
I mean, that's just gorgeous,
right? Doesn't it look almost fake?
Yeah, that looks like it's pastels or it's like watercolors.
It's just this is the one thing that the NFL and look, I get the NFL is the 800-pound gorilla. Nothing can touch it. It's a better product. There's a lot of problems with college football. I get it. It's a bit of a mess right now. But there is something about being in places like Norman, Oklahoma, Autzen, down in Eugene, Oregon. If you look around at the big-time college football programs, outside of maybe Ohio State, so they're in Columbus, USC, I'll give you LA. Outside of that, where's a big city that college football rules? If we're gonna
Tallahassee, maybe?
Tallahassee's not a big city. I can assure you of that. Then
I got really nothing. I was trying to just pick what's the biggest football city in
Florida. I've played in Tallahassee. I can assure you, no. I mean, the biggest city would be Miami.
Okay.
Yeah, if you wanted to say Miami is a big city, but the Normans, it's the Tuscaloosas, right? It's Eugene. It's places like that and stadiums like that. I don't know. That makes me a little romantic for college football. And it just kind of, I think that might have been the first time that sunk in. We're an hour and 20 minutes away from kick. Because tomorrow at 4:30 here on The Fan, pregame starting way before that. When do we start our pregame? Is it
noon?
Yeah, we start noon. And so we'll take you all the way up to kick, and then we got the postgame show and all that. But it feels a little weird because dare I say, for the first playoff game ever in Eugene, I don't know if the buildup has been quite what we thought it was going to be because it's James Madison.
I think you're right. I don't think it'll probably hit most Oregon fans. I know it won't really hit just me in terms of impact until I think I'm down in the environment, kind of surrounded by other Duck fans.
I can't wait to see it, and I hope it's turned up. But just looking at what Norman and it has, what Oklahoma has, bringing Alabama in. Well, I think Oregon is happy that JMU is coming because that should be kind of a knock off the rust sort of week. Something tells me Dan Lanning will disagree with that, but I think most people think that that's kind of a warm up game. Imagine what we'd be talking about, right? I promise you, if this was Alabama coming or Notre Dame, we would not have led off the show with Thursday Night Football.
No, we would not have. I think we would have 100%. It has 100% to do with who we're playing, the hype around it, because I don't think that many Duck fans are as hyped for this one as much as they are already looking forward to Texas Tech.
Should be good, though. Should be a great environment. I think
College football is college football.
Football is football, and you have to do football. And when we come back, we will do football with the head coach of your number 5 in the country, Oregon Ducks. Dan Lanning joins us next here on 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.